Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD eating strategies to manage weight. And with us in our virtual studio is the Dr. Roberto Olivardia. He's one of our most favorite guests to have on Attention Talk Radio. He's incredibly good at articulating things in a way that we can all understand and getting to the root of the issue. Really quickly, tonight is January the 3rd in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, it's 2018. Still having some difficulty writing the correct date. It's kind of hard to imagine that we're actually this kind of far along and that we're entering our 10th year of doing this podcast. Real quickly, tonight's show is being brought to you by Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. They've got a tip that we'd like to share with you, and then we'll get into the show. So here you go.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunchboxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHAAD website, www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Thanks again, CHAAD, for that tip. For those of you who aren't familiar with them, again, they are the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. It's important to support them, most importantly because they speak with one voice. We've done many interviews with them where they were advocating for the ADHD community on Capitol Hill, whether it be working with regulatory agencies to try to work through the definition of ADHD or something like dealing with the Food and Drug Administration and the DEA on medication shortages and a lot more. We encourage you to become a member. There's lots of great member benefits, but still supporting them is supporting a strong ADHD community, and you can get more, learn more, and sign up to be a member by going to chadd.org. Our content tonight is ADHD eating strategies. We're having this show right after the holidays. There are many of you who have indulged yourself over the last couple of months and don't want to buy a new wardrobe, and so we thought we'd bring Dr. Olivardia on board. Tonight's show is not theory. These are practical strategies that he himself has used and others use. The one thing that we do know about eating and this stuff, there's dieting, but mindfulness really kind of comes into play. Our interview was pre-recorded, so we could bring it to you at this time of the year. We're going to roll the tape here in a second, and we hope that you enjoy the content and find it insightful. So here we go. We're here with Dr. Roberto Olivardia, who's a clinical instructor of psychology at the Harvard Medical School. He maintains a private psychotherapy practice in Lexington, Massachusetts, where he specializes in the treatment of ADHD and body dysmorphic disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder. He's presented at many talks and conferences around the country, including the CHAAD conference annually, and he sits on the scientific advisory board of Attitude Magazine and the professional advisory board of CHAAD and ADA and the National Association of Males with Eating Disorders. And with that, Dr. Olivardia, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, everybody, Dr. Olivardia is always one of my favorites. He's got such a great way of articulating everything in ways that we can understand. I'll never forget, I did an interview with him a while ago, years ago, on sleep, and he said, just think of it as defrag for your brain. And I have shared that with countless people, and it's like a euphoric moment when you understand what that's all about. So hopefully we're going to get some real good insights. Our topic today is eating strategies to manage weight, particularly for those with ADHD. And so, Dr. Olivardia, just before we get into strategy and stuff, just can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, ADHD and weight management and some of the challenges so we can frame this out before we get into details?
Sure. When we think of ADHD, we think of all of the ways that it affects different domains of life for people. I mean, certainly we know academically for a lot of people in school, but for those of us with ADHD, we know it really affects every domain of life, and particularly those domains that are the ones that are everyday kind of things that for a lot of people with ADHD sometimes don't even have to think twice about. And as we've talked before about sleep, and the other thing is something like eating.
Yep.
And it's something that we have to do, and we have to do healthily. And eating healthily actually requires a good amount of executive functioning. And for a lot of clients that I work with ADHD, myself included, as I have ADHD, that, you know, eating healthily and being on top of all of that takes a lot of planning, a lot of organization, time management, prioritization, and these are challenges for people with ADD. And when people with ADHD don't manage that very well, it easily results in unhealthy eating, which can easily result in unhealthy weight gain. And there have been numerous studies that have actually been done over the past decade in particular that have looked at the correlation of ADHD with obesity. And even I remember there was an earlier study done in 2004 that looked at whether hyperactivity actually can protect against obesity. Like, we would think, well, aren't kids who are hyperactive, they're running around all the time, wouldn't they be burning more calories? Actually, that's not true. That people of inattentive subtype, people with hyperactive subtype, combined subtype, are at higher risk for obesity. And that there are a number of different factors that are associated with that, but the primary one really comes down to impulse control, portion control, an inability to plan ahead for meals, which can lead a lot of people with ADHD to eat sort of more instant, kind of fast food, or over-rely on foods that are not as healthy. People with ADHD like their sugar and like simple carbs, which both of which can contribute to obesity. And so all of these things are really important. Poor sleep habits, the inability to regulate oneself internally, to even know. I mean, I work with lots of people with ADHD who really have a hard time knowing whether they are satisfied, like what is enough food. And even just the distinction of I am satisfied versus I'm full. If we were to say I'm going to eat until I'm full, we can eat an enormous amount of food. And by fullness, it is literally to the point where you can't eat anymore. And many of my ADHD patients, that's how they eat. So if you're at a restaurant and you're given an enormous portion of food, well, then if I see it, I'm going to eat it, and that's what I'm going to eat. And so I consider I'm done eating when I literally can't eat anymore. But that's actually not a healthy way of viewing it, that part of incorporating healthy mindfulness techniques around eating with ADHD includes how do we sort of eat more slowly, and there are a lot of tips and strategies we can certainly talk about in terms of how to know, okay, I'm satisfied. I might not be full, but I'm satisfied. My body has gotten what it needs, and now I can move on. And these things are really tough for people with ADHD, and a lot of people feel an incredible amount of shame around it because eating is something that, again, is just this ordinary thing that a lot of people just seemingly seem to do. I mean, and, you know, I share a lot of, you know, my own personal examples when I give talks about this, because I remember, you know, asking a neighbor of mine what his favorite food was. And he was like, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite food. And I couldn't even understand that. I'm like, how do you not have a favorite food? Like, I love food. I love sensory aspects of food, the way it tastes, the way it smells. I take pictures of it and text my sister when I have a great meal. Like, I just like it a lot. But I remember the first time I went to a buffet, Jeff, I think I was in college at the time. It was one of these buffet places that started opening up. And I didn't go in and, like, binge. Like, I would just get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But there were, like, 50 little bits of things to get. And I would get things, come back and to the table, eat it, and then just go up and get more. And I'm thinking, hey, you know, for $19.95, yep, like, you know, all you can eat. And this was good food. Unlike, you know, the dining halls in college where – technically, yep, that could sort of be buffet style, but the food wasn't as great. This was pretty good food. I did not realize at all the amount of food that I was eating. And I remember my friends commented, like, wow, Roberta, like, you can eat a lot of food. And interestingly, when we were leaving, I realized how much food I ate because I physically couldn't get out of the booth because I felt like I was going to vomit. And it,
wow,
shocked me. I was like, why am I feeling this way? And they said, because you ate, like, a lot of food. But I didn't I would not have even recognized. I didn't feel like I was shoveling food in my mouth. I was just, it was almost like I didn't have that stopgap. And I remember thinking, you know, with my friends who didn't have ADD, because a lot of my friends do, but the ones that didn't, that they could just get a little bit at the buffet and sit down, and that's all that they could eat. It was puzzling to me how someone can just, but there's more food to be eaten. Like, how are you not eating more? So these are important for people with ADD to know that they're not alone in this, and that we just have to work at it in that way. And it might be a little effortful, but at the end of the day, it's going to work best for us in terms of our health.
So I think you articulated that exceptionally well. And as I listened to the executive functions, and you and I have had another show where we talked about how meal prep, you have to plan, you have to go to the store, you have to fix it, you got to clean it up. There's a lot of executive functioning in that, but today we're focused a lot on when we're sitting down and the food is in front of you. And one of the things that I've learned in listening to you talk about it, it sounds to me that it's really, in order to manage your eating at the point of performance, it really mostly comes down to some type of level of mindfulness to actually stop and pause and witness what's going on. Is that accurate, or how would you describe it?
Oh, absolutely. That's 100% accurate. That it's really being aware of how you're eating. And studies have shown this, that people with ADHD tend to eat faster. And the faster we eat, the more we're going to eat. They tend to graze. So a lot of times when people are asked to report what they ate, people with ADHD are asked to report what they ate in a day, they vastly underreport. And more often than not intentionally, it's that they forgot that they were eating while standing in front of the refrigerator picking at something, versus they remember the times that they sat down at the dining room table to eat a meal. But most people I have patients with ADHD that eat in their car, they eat, you know, while they're cooking, and literally can eat a meal's worth of food while they're preparing their dinner. And those are important things to be aware of. Those are a lot of additional calories. That absolutely is mindfulness around slowly eating, around how much one is eating, the way one is eating, the foods of what, you know, we're eating.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, we're coming up against, you know, the holidays soon, and this is like the time more than ever, I guess, to really have that sense of mindfulness.
Yep. Tell you what, I want to come to break and start talking about some of these mindfulness strategies. And one of the things that I want to tee up is you can read all the books, and we can talk about how eating carbs can boost serotonin and there's all kinds of weird stuff in there. But at the end of the day, when you sit down and the food's in front of you, at some point in time, you either have to like pause and override the urge to eat or do something to manage it. And so when we come back, I want to spend some time. Before we go to break, if you've got any questions, Roberto is very good at answering. His email address, and Roberto, it's Roberto Olivardia, or is it just Olivardia at?
It's roberto_olivardia@hms.harvard.edu.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Roberto Olivardio, one of my favorite guests and very articulate. We're talking about food, and before the break, we're really kind of we're focused right now on this show on particularly your interaction with food and thinking of it as a self-regulation issue, and there's a level of mindfulness. And I want to get into some of the strategies that you've used, but I know that I'm guilty as charged. Number one, I graze, and I eat a lot while I'm standing at the refrigerator. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I've worked with some people, is I talk to those with ADHD about boredom, and they're more susceptible to something called agitated boredom, and I love the definition of it. It's the physical discomfort where a person is motivated to escape the plight. In other words, you're literally physically uncomfortable when you're bored, and you're going to do anything to become comfortable. And often I find when people are bored, food is very comforting. And it's in those times of boredom that often you'll go grab that M&M or the cookie and some stuff like that. And I just kind of tee that up a little bit because there's an awareness that I've learned from myself to be mindful of my temptation, just knowing those times where I'm relatively bored. So you want to expand or share your comments on just that before we get into specific strategies?
Yes, I would 100% agree, Jeff. And that is something that's very important to note, because what I work with men and boys with eating disorders and with people with binge eating disorder, and a lot of times you'll hear stress and anger and these kind of emotions being triggers for impulsive eating or binge eating. But with ADHD individuals, not that those things aren't factors for people, but the number one emotional state I hear is that of boredom, and which is why the nighttime tends to be very difficult for a lot of people with ADHD when it comes to this. I work with people, they say, oh, throughout the day, because it's so structured, I eat really well, and the nighttime comes, and I am literally looking for some stimulation. And I get it. I mean, food is legal. It's accessible. It's there. And it is an instant sort of gratification. And so boredom, absolutely, being aware of how to manage that for people is very important. And then the other thing, too, is that I remember in college and grad school that when I was procrastinating for writing a paper or doing a project, that I would, what I would call procrastinate, where I would say, well, instead of getting to this paper, why don't I order, you know, a dozen chicken wings right now? And that was much more exciting to me.
Yep.
That was much more exciting and flavorful than writing a 30-page paper. And so here I am, you know, using food as a way of, you know, managing this kind of discomfort around this really executive dysfunction of being able to just get this paper written. So these are the ways that it kind of might show a little differently for people with ADHD.
So I do want to just say I have actually, just depending on the individual, I've actually coached people to lose weight by focusing on brain stimulation and not so much counting calories on food, because the idea is if we can keep their mind occupied, they won't have the urge for food.
Yes.
That's not a blanket statement. It depends on the individual, but it's funny how you talk about, well, why don't you write yourself a book or something like that, and they get into it, and all of a sudden they start losing pounds. But so let's talk about – so you're sitting there eating, and you've got a whole bunch of things that you yourself have done over a period of time. And one of the things and these are all very, very mindfulness, and so I'm just going to grab one of them. I know we'll just kind of riff it from there. One of them is actually to take a picture of everything you eat in a day, as opposed to writing it down. So you have to stop, you have to take the picture, you have to see it, and you get to kind of take a look at it. Tell us about that a little bit.
Sure. That one of the you know, in typical sort of technique for people who have impulsive eating or binge eating is having them do what's called a food log. So they would write down everything they eat, approximate portions, how they felt afterwards. And with an ADD population, that unfortunately doesn't work. My patients, they don't write it down. They forget the paper, even if they did write it down. They'll not have the paper or pencil with them every meal they have. And so, you know, rather than try to work at, well, let's try to, you know, get the paper, and or unfortunately, some patients are stigmatized by therapists who don't understand ADHD, who sometimes say, well, maybe you're not looking to get better. Maybe you're treatment resistant, which are phrases that are or I find offensive. So what I tell those patients is, well, we have to look at it in the ADD lens. So you always have your iPhone or your, you know, mobile device. Take a picture of everything you eat. Just take a picture before you eat it. Even if they don't think about it in that moment, and then when we sit together, they literally have a catalog now, a photographic catalog of everything that they eat and drink too, because alcohol has a lot of calories in it, and soda is probably one of the worst things you can consume. That has a ton of sugar and calories. So that's what they do. And I find, even just for anybody, you know, just taking a snapshot and look, and before looking at the pictures, asking yourself, how well of a reporter am I as to what I ate today? And then look at the pictures and see. And I would say 90% of the time with my ADD patients, they vastly underestimate how much they eat. They didn't realize that, you know, second helping or that third helping that they had, or how big the soda glass was, or that it wasn't just five Oreos, it was the entire sleeve, you know, of them. And that's important data. And the key is, the huge part of this, Jeff, too, is to let go of the shame around this, because what shuts people down is they look at this and they think, gosh, like, this is awful. Like, I'm so out of control. I'm gluttonous. I'm, you know, all of these sort of, and I say, no. This is data. We have to just look at this as just data.
Yep.
And only through data can we then work on it. And I tell my patients, I've done this myself, where I've taken pictures and then I sort of quiz myself, and I have an excellent memory for lots of things, and think, okay, I'm probably going to be on target. Nope, there are many times that I underreport and don't even realize it. So something that simple, and what happens with mindful kind of behaviors like this is, when you take the picture, even in that moment, there's a pause there. You're being mindful in that moment, even if it feels like, okay, I'm just taking this quick picture, but it means that you're pausing enough to say, I'm taking a picture because I'm regarding this data as important. So you're valuing this information, which means that we're valuing looking at this as a very important thing for our health. And that's really the big picture, is like, why is this important? And with ADHD, we always have to find something relevant.
There's a few things, Dr. Olivardia, that you said that were really brilliant in there, and I really want to highlight it. This is the brilliance of him. Number one, everybody who's listened to this for some time knows I'm a big fan of Dr. Barclay's notion of ADHD is an executive function issue, largely of which is self-regulation, the ability to direct an action back on yourself to change your behavior, to change the future. And in this moment, you're talking about using the camera to be able to kind of pause and stop and catch yourself and put yourself in choice to determine, as opposed to that automatic brain that just goes. You want to pause and engage your executive functioning brain to effortlessly, as he described it. I want to emphasize, it's effortlessly override that automatic impulse. And taking the picture of the food, it's simple and it's easy, because we're trying to build into that pause, as you said. The other thing that I really want to underscore, that I've learned over the years, is that if you're going to keep a food log, it requires a level of self-regulation to pause and go get the pencil, to go get the paper, to stop and write and document all that stuff. And so I get frustrated sometimes when I hear about people using a tool that requires self-regulation to override self-regulation. And the brilliance of what he's saying is, just having that picture just makes it so much easier to create that pause in order for you to acknowledge what you're doing, to kind of change your mindset and overcome it. So I want to give you an opportunity to say anything, but that the ability to pause is what I think is so important in what he's saying, because you got to have that, because if you don't get that first, you can't do anything second. Is that accurate? Or anything you want to add?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I echo everything you just said, that it really is that pause. And that's why with any of these tips and strategies, it really is introducing that pause to then almost, you know, think of it as kind of just achieving a clarity about what you're doing in that moment. And, you know, what I tell people is, it's not always, the goal isn't so much about even eating less, let's say, or eating more fruits or vegetables. It's ultimately being mindful. Like, if you are mindful and you're mindfully eating a sleeve of Oreos, that's less, that is actually over time is going to be less harmful than the unmindful eating. Because, you know, over time, people, the more mindfulness you have, the more connected you are going to be, you know, with your body. So it's really producing those pauses that can allow for that.
Yep. So, which leads me to another one, because we're on the mindfulness bandwagon, and to me, I talk about mindfulness and meditation. Another thing you do is to pause and take a deep breath before you eat.
Yes.
I've heard you say that before. You want to talk about that for a second?
Definitely. That, you know, lots of people with ADHD, unfortunately, don't really respect sort of the art of the meal, in a sense of sitting down at a table and eating. I mean, many of my patients will say that they stand up, they're in their car, which is wrong for so many other reasons, that they are eating in bed, that they are sort of, again, eating standing in front of the refrigerator. They're not even taking the food, you know, to the table. Eating while watching TV is a huge one.
Yep.
So it's really, it's respecting the art of the meal by sitting down at a table and definitely taking it, because a lot of times people are always on the go or very focused on what they have to go to, that they're not present in that moment. So when you take a full, even for 60 seconds, a full deep breath, you're basically anchoring yourself in that moment. And another similar tip is, and this is something that's actually pretty difficult for a lot of people, not just people with ADHD, to do, is when you're eating with your fork or your spoon, your food, you put the food in your mouth and then literally take the utensil out of your hand until you have chewed that food and have swallowed it. And then you pick up the utensil when you're ready to take the next bite. And that might seem like a very easy thing to do, but it's amazing how, even in the office, I'll do this with clients, that it's very difficult. They realize that they either haven't done that, and that they're getting, you know, bite number two loaded like, you know, like an airplane, like ready to take the landing off, when they're still chewing. The fork or spoon is literally in front of their mouth, like as they're chewing, just ready to get more food in there. And all of these things make a big difference. It's just adding extra calories that really are not really necessary to sustain ourselves. So that's another way of just kind of chewing the food,
yep,
being respectful of that process, swallowing the food, and then picking up the utensil and doing it again, putting the utensil down, are just very sort of quick and easy tips, but can be quite effortful.
Yeah, so I want to go to a break here, but before we do, you were talking about the breathing and put the fork down and acknowledging, hey, it's, you know, it's this easy thing to do. And we go back to the beginning of this segment. I talked about the boredom and the physical discomfort. It's funny because I've talked to people like this, and when you're really in touch with yourself, I've actually said, you know, put the fork down and stuff like that. And then I've said, do you feel the anxiety in your body? And it's amazing to me how many people, when they're honest, go, well, yeah. And I go, this is really, really, really hard. It sounds like I put my foot down and I chew, but for those with ADHD, this is massive. It takes an enormous amount of mental energy,
mm-hmm,
to override that urge to do it. And Dr. Oliver, I'm just trying to underscore this, because I think when you minimize it, oh, that should be easy, you're not really giving it, mm-hmm, due. And if you give it its respect in that moment, you can actually begin to, like, you know, meet it where it is. So before we want to break, you want to comment on that real quick?
Yeah, definitely. That, you know, a lot of these things, like a lot of tips that you hear, look easy on paper. But when I say it's easy, meaning it's a simple concept, but it's effortful. And just to keep people, you know, knowing that it takes some work, and not to give up and feel like this should just be, you know, mastered in the first meal that you do this in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everyone, questions? Roberto is very good at responding. His email address is roberto_olivardia@hms.harvard.edu. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Olivardia and meeting food at point of performance and emphasize the need for mindfulness and the ability to kind of pause and kind of witness what you're doing, to stop and take a breath or put your fork down or make sure you sit down at the table and notice, am I full versus am I satisfied, to really put you in choice. Dr. Olivardia, I got some other thoughts, but any other tips that come to mind off the top of your head?
Sure. That I always tell people to be aware of the size of their plates and bowls. Studies, again, show that people with ADHD are on a seafood diet. So if they see it, they're going to eat it. I have definitely seen this, especially when it comes to restaurants, which can give enormous portions of food. This is another tip, is that when I go to restaurants that I know give big portions of food, I'll ask the waiter, and it's hard for me to do this, Jeff, trust me, to say to the waiter, can you take 50% of the meal and just put it on, like, in a doggy bag? I don't even want to see it. So just present to me 50% and then just keep the other 50% when I leave and I'll take home. And every time I do that, I think, oh, I'm probably going to regret it because I'm hungry. Like, I want, you know, I'm looking forward to this meal. I'm hungry. I'm sure it won't be enough. And, you know, but I always say to myself, if I really am that hungry, I can just have the waiter bring me that other portion. And every time I've done this, never once have I needed that other portion. And in fact, have always felt quite satisfied and, like, full sometimes, even with 50% of the meal. But I could tell you, Jeff, if I had 100% of that meal in front of me, I would also have eaten 100% of that meal. And if you had told me, well, eat just 50% of what's in front of you, I would tell you, oh, no, I'm still hungry. But I'm not really still hungry.
Yep.
But that's what my ADD brain, you know, does. So even at home, you know, use smaller plates and bowls. And it doesn't mean you can't go up for seconds. But what happens is when you get up to get seconds, there's a mindful pause that says, oh, I am getting up and I am getting more food. Am I really hungry? Am I satisfied? Do I need this? And sometimes, yeah, you are really hungry and you might need that nourishment. And that's fine. This the goal of this is to not hate food. In fact, it's the opposite. It's to really develop a real healthy relationship with food. And a lot of people with ADD, you know, don't have one. Similarly, don't have food family style in the middle of the table. Have it away from you so you do have to get up if you are going to get seconds, you know, or thirds.
So it's interesting. I'm going to tell this story a little bit because it really speaks to this and my own personal strategy. I went to high school and college on a swimming scholarship, and I was swimming 4 hours a day. And I'll never forget, after NCAAs, I think it was 1985, whatever, it was my last official swim meet. I was retiring, and I walked away thinking, I've got to go on a diet. And what it was interesting because I had to shrink my eyes, not my stomach. And I remember very mindfully doing very similar things about not putting food in front of me and focusing my satisfied, because I was so accustomed to eating enormous amounts of food just to keep up with the exercise that I was doing. And since the exercise had dropped, again, I got to shrink my eyes, not necessarily my appetite, to kind of do that. And a lot of these strategies that you're talking about, like half the portion, or I would sit down and get smaller portions and do that stuff over the time, is what enabled me to successfully do that. And one of the things that I'm proud of, I'm actually, I weighed less than I did in high school and college to manage it. And so, again, just that's my own personal testimony that this is a powerful way of really. So, another tip or idea?
Sure. I think the other, you know, piece is even when shopping for food, that I think it's very important when at the supermarket, I tell people have a list that you are generating when you're not hungry at home. So after you eat a meal, generate a list of a supermarket list, because if you're making a list when you're hungry, you're going to put foods that are just higher in fat and sugar. And then really stick to that list. Try not to get anything, you know, off of that list. Never go to the supermarket hungry. Shop on the outside of the perimeter of the market first, which is typically where the fresher foods and produce are, and less of the kind of frozen foods or kind of more, you know, the chips and cookie aisle. And then also, you know, even things like in the nighttime is a tip when you're at home and you feel like you're hungry, but you know you're not, you're just bored, is chew some gum. I use gum as an oral fidget. That's sort of how I look at it, is that my mouth, I just need something. Like, I've never smoked cigarettes, but I can understand that sort of oral stimulation that people probably get when they smoke a cigarette. I was always a kid that chewed on pen caps, that chewed on straws. I never bit my nails because like the whole germ thing on my nails, but I get that too for people who bite their nails. So chewing gum is a great way to satisfy that kind of oral stimulation. And then a lot of times when I think I'm hungry at night, I chew some gum, and then before I know it, I'm not even thinking about food. I'm just watching my program, or I'm doing work, or whatnot.
Wow. So, you know, everybody, if you listen to me on the show, you know, I love insights. I love to pay attention to things differently. And there's one thing that I want to highlight, as Dr. Oliver said, you know, don't go shopping when you're hungry. That way you don't buy so much. And that reminds me of a quote from the comedian Gallagher, the guy that smashes watermelons. He says, you know, they say you should eat before you go shopping. That way you don't buy so much. But that doesn't work in a liquor store. And you might be laughing at me about that a little bit, but I'm serious about this. I can't tell you how many people I've been where they've been drinking, they walk into the liquor store, and all of a sudden they just start to buy everything, and particularly if they're tailgating or go to a party, and liquor has an enormous amount of calories in it. And being mindful of that, I think, can be somewhat helpful. So it's a little bit straight back door, but again, it really comes down to the mindfulness stuff, that if once you sit down and interact with food, there's no other way to do it than actually to pause. Think about what you're doing, and I really want everybody out there that's listening to the show, because you probably are, because this is difficult. I want you to know that it's not necessarily, it's not easy, because biology is involved. So, we have to step. Any other last thoughts, or just before we close things out?
I guess another thing I would just have people is just to look at nutritional labels. Be aware of what they're actually eating. If you're going to a restaurant where their nutritional information is online, go online and just look at how much fat and sugar, sodium is in food. And with restaurants, you know, go online before you go to the restaurant and decide what you healthily want to eat. And then don't even open the menu when you're at the restaurant. Because when you're at the restaurant and you smell all the food, you open that menu and, you know, it could be a lot more food than you really want. So decide sometimes, you know, before you even go, and just stick with it.
Absolutely. So, you know, Dr. Oliver, the thing that I'm getting from the show more than anything else is that if you're going to graduate, it really comes down to mindfulness and pausing. It's not the easiest thing, but again, if you meet it head on, that's the way to make it happen. So with that, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, always a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Everyone, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us again, same station, for another edition. Take care.